Welcome to The Best of Charlotte, a podcast featuring the best small businesses and the most influential professionals in Charlotte, North Carolina. Each week, we'll bring you a new interview with those small business owners and professionals that are making a big impact here in the Charlotte area. Thanks for joining us. Enjoy the show.
Hey everyone, thanks for tuning in. I'm your host, Jeff Hamm, and this is episode 55 of the Best of Charlotte podcast. In this episode, I sit down with Kristen Dillard. She's the dealer principal at Team Automotive Group. During our conversation, Kristen shares the story of her career in the automotive industry, which began at a young age. We discuss topics such as the current state of workforce development in the automotive industry, the importance of building a community culture at Team Automotive, and how Team Automotive works hard at building trust and developing relationships with its employees, vendors, and customers. Not such an easy task in the long stigmatized retail automotive industry. Under Kristen's leadership, Team Automotive Group is accomplishing its goals and expanding quickly to new markets. The future indeed looks bright for Team Automotive Group and its leader, Kristen Dillard. Kristen, welcome to the podcast.
Hey, Jeff. Thanks.
Thanks for being here. I really appreciate it. I've been looking forward to this conversation. Team Automotive Group has been, it sounds like it's been growing quite a bit, and it's really exciting news that, I'm going to leave this for you to share the details about you becoming owner, a dealer principal of the Automotive Group and leading it into the future, so to speak. So before we get into Team Automotive Group and the growth there, all the new things going on with the company, Kristen, I'd love to share a little bit of a background with our listeners. So if you could kind of just give us a sort of a brief overview, hometown, education, and career prior to your role now with the company.
Yeah, sure. So I am a Carolina girl. I was born and raised in North Carolina. I was born in Hickory and then spent a little time in Fayetteville. And then most of my life I've spent in Salisbury, North Carolina. I grew up there from middle school all the way through and had my first couple of jobs there and high school, the whole deal, and then left for college and came back, moved to Salisbury, and then just have recently relocated to Charlotte. And we also moved our headquarters over to Charlotte as well.
I didn't want to give that away. I wanted you to share that. So it's really cool news that you've moved the headquarters to Charlotte. Kristen, share some details about Team Automotive Group, sort of a little bit of a history of the Team Automotive Group, where it started, and there's been some growth in recent years. Share some details about where you're at now.
Yeah, I'd love to. So we started out in Salisbury. Our very first store was there. My dad scraped together like every last penny he had and was able to purchase that store back in 1992. And back then I was 10 years old. So my dad was working really, really hard. And I learned that if I wanted to spend any time with my dad, I needed to go hang out at the car dealership. So as soon as I was old enough, I started working for him. I was the receptionist. I detailed cars. Eventually, when I got older, I was able to start selling cars in the summertime. And I loved it. Like, I fell in love immediately. So when it came time for college, I started out at the College of Charleston. And then realized that I really wanted a more specific education. So I was able to find a very, very specific business school or specialized business school in Florida. And so it's a four-year university, but I was able to earn dual bachelor's degrees in automotive marketing and automotive management. And then after that was over, I did our industry's best, closest thing to a master's program. It's all automotive specific. But I did that in Washington, D.C. for a year. And then I came back and started working at the dealership. And I did every single position in that store. So I was a parts counter person, a body shop estimator, a sales manager, a general sales manager, a general manager. And then in 2017, General Motors appointed me as the dealer principal of the store, which is basically a contractual agreement with General Motors. And you're like head chick in charge there. Uh-huh. And so once that happened, it kind of gave us wings and I was able to start building our team in 2018. And from there, we started acquiring stores. So since that happened, we've acquired a store in Swansboro, Goldsboro, Boone, Creedmoor, Morganton, and now just recently Myrtle Beach.
These are GM stores?
General Motors and Stellantis. So Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, Ram, and Fiat.
Oh, wow. Yeah, that's cool. Yeah,
it's a ton of fun.
Yeah, those are big. That sounds like big enterprises. Like, these are big stores.
Yeah, and it's always exciting because you never know what's going to happen each day when you go in.
Oh, yeah. no doubt. I have no doubt. So you kind of knew your career track, like you knew where you were going. When you entered college, you kind of knew that the automotive, like you may not have known you were going to ultimately achieve dealer principal status, but you kind of knew that where you wanted your career to be was in the retail automotive space.
Yes, for sure by college. But before that, I wanted to be an astronaut. Then I wanted to be a veterinarian. So I was like, oh, I'll go work at the vet's office. But what they don't tell you when you say, I want to be a veterinarian and you work there, is you get to scoop poop. And it's a lot of it.
That's so funny.
After that, the car business was going to be for me.
yeah. That's so funny. I interned with a veterinarian when I was in high school, too, and found out really quick it wasn't, you know, just playing with puppies all day long, you know.
Right.
There's a not so pleasant side of that. So yeah, it's funny. I did the same thing. Well, so you have these new stores you've acquired just since 2018. So that's the kind of expansion you've experienced since 2018. That's rapid growth, I would say.
It is.
You know, I kind of peeked at your LinkedIn profile and I saw that you like to, that you really have focused on some keywords. I'm a digital marketer, so I focus on keywords, right? So I noticed people-centric, mm-hmm. Leadership, and also automotive workforce development was another set of keywords that I kind of took away from your profile. I wondered if we could maybe chat a little bit about, you know, some opportunities you see in the area of automotive workforce development or thoughts on the topic that you could share.
Sure. From a workforce development standpoint, we've built our entire company around the desire to help people progress throughout our industry. So if you take the part of our industry that a lot of people see. So a lot of people interact with us on the sales side. So the first point of entry through our stores, automotive retail, is usually as a car sales consultant. And then from there, they can go into a management position and then leadership of the whole entire front of the store, and then to general manager, and then ultimately dealer if they want. And it takes years to do that and a lot of hours, but it makes it a ton of fun. But we built our whole organization around the ability to help people progress up that ladder if that's the path that they want to take. So in 2019, we embarked on the journey of EOS, which is it's called Entrepreneurial Operating System, and it's free to set up if you want to do it that way. We hired an implementer to help us, but when we did that, we were able to really key in on what are our core values and where is our company going together? And then how do we get our whole organization to stay on the same page and start swimming in the same direction? And once we got really clear on that, we were able to outline career paths for our team and also rubrics for how do you earn respect in our group? How do you earn a chance for the next role? And a lot of that is by living our core values. And we believe that if you follow all the core values and you really truly are the right person for the right seat, the sky's the limit for growth within our organization. And one of the things that we do to help bolster that is we're vertically integrated. So what that means is if you go to any of our dealerships anywhere across the state, you'll be greeted the same way for your oil change in our beach store as you will when you go to our mountain store. So all of our processes are the same, all of our technologies are the same, all of our pay plans are the same, and all of our internal structures are the same. So when we want to be able to give people a chance to progress in their career, it's kind of hard to do it if you stay within a single store. But if you open up the job listings across the whole state, there are opportunities to grow. And when one of our team members accepts that opportunity, they already know our culture, they already know our processes, they already know how they're getting paid. Now all they've got to do is just learn how to do the job. So it's a much easier transition for our team to be able to climb through the ladder of automotive retail.
That's really interesting. You brought up EOS, and now I've read the book Traction by Gino Wickman. Is this the same EOS?
Same thing. Yep.
Okay. All right. Excellent. Yeah. That book has, I read the book because it had been recommended so many times by entrepreneurs that I have had conversations with on the podcast, and highly recommend the reading. And, but it's really, it's a system that you can really dive deep into, right?
Yeah. And it's not a plug for anything, because all you got to do is buy the book for what, $15?
But yeah.
For us, it was a life-changing journey for every single person in our organization.
Interesting. Yeah, it's been a while since I've visited that book. I need to revisit it, I think.
Yeah, it's a good one. But it also was instrumental in, like, as we grow, like, we're growing fast. So each time we acquire a store, we're acquiring 50 to 100 employees. And so to be able to get all of our team members on the same page pretty quickly is important. And then for all the information to flow up and down the chain. So, you know, if there's a problem in our sales process, it needs to be able to get up to us at the leadership team. Or if we need to push something down all the way to the, you know, like the front line, we got to have a method to get that dispersed out to the people that can do something with that information. And EOS provides a really great platform for making sure that the information travels both up and down that line.
A company really can't scale effectively without a system, a system, a defined system and processes that can be duplicated throughout the company, right, to new locations. And right. So that makes a lot of sense. Did the company begin the EOS strategy early on in the growth phase, or is this something you discovered that you needed?
We started in 2019, so I think we had 3 stores at that time.
Okay.
And so we were kind of just starting to feel the, you know, the strains of scaling.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it makes sense. So you adopted this fairly quickly and were able to implement it.
Yeah. And at first we were like, oh man, this thing feels fluffy, and what are these core values? And just, we weren't so sure about it. And then we stuck with it, I think, about the 6-month mark. We were like, wow, this is incredible. This has changed our whole world. And even now, 4 years later, we still giggle about, oh, we thought this was just a fluff project.
Yeah. Well, it took a little bit of heavy lifting and some time and thought up front, right? But once you invested it, it made a huge difference.
Yeah. And so for, regarding workforce development, I think there's pieces of it where we have to have built the structure internally to be able to support the growth that people are going to want to see once they enter our industry. But then if we're talking about trying to get people to consider our industry, I think that's a whole different topic. And from there, it's really thinking about, do we want a vocational education or do we want a degree in English and then somehow accidentally end up in the business world? And so if we really focus on the kids that have technical talent and are looking for a career right off the bat, why not consider vocational studies and a tech degree? And yeah, the cost of tuition is so low for vocational studies, and the hiring rate is so incredibly high that it's such a wonderful opportunity. And then if you push that into automotive, these technicians that are coming out of school maybe have like $2,000-$4,000 of tuition that they've paid, but they come right into a job where they're getting paid market rate. And then on top of that, the employer, whether it's me or any other car dealer in the country, they come in, they get paid their market rate, but then the dealership is going to pay all of their education up to a master's level tech if they want, even a world-class tech if they want. And so they have the opportunity, if they do all their work really fast, they can be a master technician in 4 or 5 years and be making well over $100,000. So there's just so much opportunity when you look out of the traditional system.
I couldn't agree more. I'm so glad that you brought that up. I think that that's a conversation that's not had often enough about the importance and the value of for young people to enter trades as a career versus you know, the traditional, I guess you might say, 4-year bachelor's degree programs. There's so much demand. There's so much need in the skilled trades in this country for sure. And there's so much opportunity that I think that I think there's a lot of opportunities being missed. And I think that that's a great conversation to have and something that should be had more often, I think.
That's right.
Well, you mentioned a little bit about company culture earlier, and that that brings me to an important topic that I wanted to talk to you about. And that were that topic is kind of some details about Team Automotive Group that kind of sets the company apart. We talked about the locations, but tell me a little bit more about company culture and what sets the company apart from some of the automotive companies that candidates might be looking at.
Sure. In all that we do, we build relationships that matter, and we build those with our vendors, our customers, our manufacturers, and most importantly, our employees. And the whole premise is that we're building trust, and we're building a family style atmosphere where we call on each other for support. We pray with each other. We work with each other. I mean, we volunteer together. And I think that our fabric of community is just, it's so tight within our organization that I think it is visible to anybody that comes through our doors. We have a ton of people that call on automotive, and you'll hear it all the time. Each time when they walk through our door to call on us, they'll be like, man, it just feels different in here. And this is just incredible. I love coming to visit your stores is what they'll say, because it feels different when they're in there. There's a vibe. There's a sense of community. There's, you know, there's some energy. And I think people really appreciate that, but you can't manufacture that. That just happens through the process of building relationships.
I love that you brought up relationships and trust. Relationships. So for a business's success, relationships with the clients and customers are so important, and trust, building trust with your market. But the conversation of building relationships and trust internally inside an organization with employees and management, I don't hear that conversation a lot. I think that's a cool concept that you brought up. And I love to hear that that's happening at Team Automotive Group. I think that's an important conversation too.
Yeah, it is. And, you know, I mean, we still have people that leave us, but my favorite call in the world is when they call and say, hey, can I come back home? I really want to come back home. And once that happens, they're with us forever.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that. That's cool. Well, what about, you know, speaking of the career path, the automotive, whether it's retail or the technical side of automotive retail as a career path, what would be some advice you would offer to anyone considering a career in the retail automotive industry?
Be ready for some hours, but also to know your numbers. There's, you know, what a lot of people don't realize about automotive is when you run a store, you're running 6 or 7 different individual businesses. And so there's a metric that'll attach to just about any action within each one of those business silos. And we call them KPIs, but just really, really know your numbers, because when something goes south, it's easy to say, gosh, we're not selling any cars, but they don't know why. So if you know your metric for what's supposed to happen with each one of your opportunities to get them across the finish line, or what's supposed to happen with the time that we have a customer sit through any given process, there's a metric attached to that. And as soon as you find that one metric that broke, you know how to fix it very, very quickly. But really, really, really know your numbers and know your metrics so that if something goes funny, you know how to fix it pretty quickly.
Well, It's funny that you mentioned that. I just wrapped up a recording this morning with for another podcast that I produce with a business coach and mentor who offered the advice to small business owners who are early in their journey. One of his pieces of advice was know your numbers and you know, make sure you're tracking metrics. You mentioned that within each dealership location, you're operating 6 or 7 sort of individual businesses, right, within that dealership. So you have retail sales, you have service, parts, detailing, you know, all kinds
body
of different
shops.
Body shops. That's right. Yeah. That's top of mind. I have an estimate for my car, actually. timely. But yeah, I mean, all these individual businesses and lines of business within a dealership. So it makes sense that to get to that general manager position, you have to spend some time in each one of these businesses, right?
That's right. And I mean, we measure so many things, but like the funniest one to me is we measure how long a request sits from the technician to the parts department. How many minutes did it take the parts department to pull the part and hand it to the technician so that they can keep the repair moving so that the consumer is not waiting so long?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just the devil's in the details, right? So every little, what may seem like small detail is important. Right. These incremental, these places where we can make incremental gains throughout the business that lead to, you know, really big results. That reminds me of Atomic Habits. I think I've read that book too many times. I tend to quote it all the time without even knowing it. So, well, I appreciate that advice, you know, for those who might be considering a career in retail automotive. You mentioned the hours. You know, I think anything of significance, if we're going to achieve anything of significance and have a fulfilling and rewarding career, it's going to take some work. You know, you're going to have to put the hours in no matter where, you know, whether you are starting your own business or going to work for a financial institution or going to work for an HVAC company.
That's right.
There really are no 30-hour work weeks. So,
no.
Kristen, I really appreciate you taking the time to join the podcast. Congratulations on the new headquarters in Charlotte, and congratulations on all of your success. The company sounds like it's growing and expanding really, really quickly and doing really well under your leadership. So, congratulations.
I appreciate that. It's been a ton of fun.
What's the best way for listeners to learn more about Team Automotive Group?
They can visit our website, teamautogroup.com. And then personally, I'm on LinkedIn, Kristen Dillard, and you can find me there.
I will have links, I'll have both of those links in the show notes for this episode. And Kristen, again, I just want to thank you so much for your time, for joining the podcast.
Thanks for inviting me.
Big thanks again to Kristen Dillard for joining the podcast. Friends, you can learn more about Team Automotive Group at teamautogroup.com. I'll have that link in the show notes for this episode, along with the link to Kristen's LinkedIn profile. As always, you can find the show notes for all of our episodes at the home of Charlotte's number one small business podcast, www.thebestofclt.com. We have some exciting news about the Best of Charlotte coming soon, so stay up to date with us on Instagram and Facebook. Here's a hint. Beginning in July, just a little over 1 month from today, The Best of Charlotte is going to be more than just a podcast. We're expanding our content portfolio, and we're going to give you an excellent way to follow along. I'm so excited to begin the next phase of this online journey. So stay tuned, my friends. The best is yet to come. For now, I wish you a great week or weekend ahead, depending on when you're listening to this episode. Another episode of the Best of Charlotte podcast drops next week, and I sincerely hope you'll join me again for a listen. Until then, cheers, Charlotte. Bye for now.
We hope you've enjoyed this episode of the Best of Charlotte. Please consider subscribing to the podcast to stay up to date on our weekly episodes and leave us a review. Until next time, cheers, Charlotte.